Today's worship theme is very subtle, if you didn't pick up on it. It's baptism. This is Baptism of Our Lord Sunday, and it's part of this season of Epiphany, where we focus on spiritual growth and opportunities for new learning. And it's appropriate to ground ourselves in baptism, because it is really the entry point in our spiritual walk. So Amanda asked before, but I'm going to ask everybody, how many of you remember your baptism? Like, you have a memory of being baptized. How many have no memory of your baptism? I'm going to cast my lot with that group. I was born in July and baptized in September as an infant, like many of us in our Lutheran tradition. Baptism of young children or infants has become the norm, not that it's proper or improper, but in other traditions, baptism was reserved for older children or young adults or adults. And it is always, going back to the early church, baptism was seen as sort of the entry ritual to becoming part of the church, to become a following Jesus. And baptism as a ritual actually predates the Christian church. It was part of Judaism. And John the Baptist kind of picks up on that tradition and kind of uses it as a springboard for the ministry of Jesus. But in Jewish tradition, baptism was seen as a way to cleanse one's sins. And it was obviously a holistic thing. Your entire body would be submerged in water, and that with the blessing that would come with that, one would be, their sin would be wiped clean, sort of like an erasure of all sins from the past, which, that's great, right? If you had all your sins erased from your past, then you get to start fresh. But because we're human beings, once that clock starts ticking again, guess what happens? We add to the list, right? And so John the Baptist was very clear, and if you go back, and we just heard from Matthew, the second half of chapter 3, and the first part of chapter 3, which we've heard in recent weeks, where John is baptizing in the wilderness. He's calling it a baptism of repentance, so forgiveness of sin, calling people to change their life around, to turn their hearts and lives back to God. But John said, I baptize you with water, but one who is greater than me is coming after me, and he will baptize you not with water, but with Holy Spirit and fire. The baptism of Jesus, the baptism in which we baptize people of all ages, is water and word, but it is Holy Spirit and fire. It is of a different nature. That baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is not simply wiping the slate clean of sins from our past. It does that, but it also confers upon us a permanent transformation. Baptism is that our sins in our past are forgiven, but also our future. That it is a means of God's grace. It is a gift of grace given to us, which means that permanently we are a child of God. We are beloved. We are forgiven. Salvation is conferred upon us, and nothing could ever take it away. No matter what anyone says or does, you are saved. You are saved because of God's amazing love and grace. This is the sacrament of baptism, and it's done once. Other traditions have different takes on baptism, but for the Lutheran Church, we baptize once, and then we have this second step, which can be done repeatedly through life. It's not just once, and this is for our confirmands. Confirmation is really properly understood as an affirmation of baptism. That you were baptized at a young age, but at a certain point in life, and again, this could be done not just when you're 14, it can be done when you're 40 or 86, to say, I continue to want to walk in the path that God has for me. I want to affirm this promise of baptism. I want to affirm that God's word about me is that I'm a beloved child of God. And each day I want to live into that baptismal promise by loving God with all my heart and loving my neighbor as myself. Baptism, grounded in faith, grounded in God's promises, we are conferred this gift of salvation. That's the baptism of Jesus. Now the question becomes, and Amanda raised it, I think, quite rightly, if baptism is about forgiveness of sin once and for all, why does Jesus, who is without sin, get baptized? Does he need to be baptized? Not a rhetorical question. And I think what Amanda said was great. Jesus himself, without sin, doesn't need to be baptized for the reason that we do. He doesn't need forgiveness of sin or a permanent change. He is already holy because he is the incarnate Word of God. The very embodiment of God who lived and walked on this earth is Jesus of Nazareth. And John understood this. He goes, "Why are you asking me to baptize you? You should baptize me. He is the one who's coming after me, who's greater, and I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals," as John says of Jesus. But Jesus does this for a couple of key reasons. One is to model for us faithfulness and humility. With all the power that God has, that Jesus has at his disposal, he wants to demonstrate to us, to those original followers and those who were there that day, but throughout his ministry, Jesus uses all of his power not to aggrandize himself or to his own advantage. He's faithful to God's mission, and he's humble. And so he demonstrates for us faithful living, but also, Jesus is baptized at age 30. For 30 years, he was walking around as the incarnate Word of God. He was walking around as the very embodiment of God and didn't use any of those gifts. He didn't heal people. He didn't perform miracles. Our kids today learned about the story of the feeding of the 5,000. All of that comes after. It is after the baptism of Jesus where he begins his public ministry. The baptism of Jesus is the catalyst for him to begin the work of the kingdom of God, healing, teaching, performing miracles, and ultimately going to the cross. Baptism for Jesus and for us is a calling that has called children of God as the beloved. And you can imagine how powerful it is to hear the voice of God speaking out, "This is my son, the beloved." That's God's word to you too. "You are my son. You are my daughter. You are beloved." Baptism confers upon us this ultimate gift of grace, this promise of salvation that can be never taken from us, but it also gives us a calling. When we baptize a child or an adult, we ask them to live their life in a different kind of way, to love God and love neighbor, to do acts of kindness and mercy and compassion, to work for justice and peace in the world, to be a light for the whole world to see, so that they might see in you the very work of God. For Jesus, his baptism began that journey of public ministry, that for 3 years he shone his light through his actions, his kindness and compassion for whom he saw as children of God, for the love and grace that he demonstrated. And so it is for us. In the early church, the Christians were trying to understand not just the meaning of baptism as a means of grace, but also that Jesus himself was baptized. And Paul, in the letter to the Romans in chapter 6, talks about baptism and how we share in Jesus' baptism, but that when we are baptized in the name of Jesus, we are baptized into his death. Put another way, the day you are baptized is the beginning of your eternal life. So often we think of the promise of salvation, the promise of eternal life is that when you die, you go to heaven. And that's great. See you there. But more so, eternal life has a present reality. And that in baptism, we have already died. In baptism, we already have the promise of salvation, and it cannot be taken from us. So we don't have to be afraid of death. We've already had it. In the waters of baptism, we are drowned to sin and death. We are drowned to the ways of this world. And what comes out of those waters is a new creation. And that we're given an invitation that with this sense of security, with this sense of promise, that I don't have to worry about my eternal fate, that I can walk in newness of life. Your invitation, your call, as you let your light shine, is to walk in newness of life. Because I want to say to you, from a spiritual perspective, when we really understand the promise of baptism, it's a liberation. Because there is so much darkness in this world. There's so much brokenness and despair, so much heaviness. And whether we feel guilt or shame, we feel inadequate, whether we've hurt people, whether we're suffering on the inside, the question I want you to think about when it comes to baptism is, what do we need to keep buried in the grave that dies at baptism so that we can walk in newness of life? Bring your heaviness, your burdens, your sufferings, your sorrow, your pain, and leave it in the water. Leave it, because Jesus has got you covered. Through baptism, all of that dies. And what is left is your life eternal. And it can start anew each day. Living in the promises of God, we have the assurance, the blessed assurance, that we are good. That what Christ does on the cross and overcoming the grave means that we have died to sin and we will share in a resurrection like his, here and now and in the life to come. Know that promise, hear it today, believe it in your heart, and walk in newness of life. Amen.